All right, everybody, welcome to the Druhan Show. I am sitting down with Austin Scalecki. If listeners don't know, you've been on the show before, but that episode never aired because I goofed and lost all my data.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I'm happy you're still doing it.
Yeah.
We got a lot more to talk about now.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It works out great.
For listeners, just to let you know, I lost about 3 episodes of recorded material. Austin's episode is one of them. So we are sitting down again. I'll be asking some of the similar questions I asked before, but I just wanted to keep it current and relevant for this conversation. So welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me once again. So I'm happy to be here.
Cool. One of my first questions last time that I wanted to ask again and touch on was coming back to Wisconsin over the winter. You played at Gibson.
Correct.
Yeah. And I had pointed out, as I said in Tay's episode as well, that the two of you performed, well, Tay and the Neighborly, separate sets, and it was just a magical, memorable night.
It was magical.
Yeah. Your sets both complemented each other really well.
It's definitely a show I'm not going to forget.
Okay, was, cool.
It's Gibson, and, you know, it's been like one of those dream venues, and then the night sharing the stage with Tay that night, it was just unbelievable, and being able to, like, here really stripped down in that setting is just great pairing, like you said.
Had you met Tay prior to that?
I haven't. Oh, always okay. Following her for a while, probably since I first started playing music.
Okay.
I didn't bring that up to her, but you know, I've been like, when I first started doing this, you know, I started writing my own music, you know, I originally started seeing all the other people in the scene, and Tay was one of those people, and just like really struck me as, you know, someone that's doing it. It was inspiring. So then when I realized, you know, we were sharing the bill together, it was like, that was pretty awesome.
Okay, good deal. Speaking of which, what influences drove you to get into music?
A lot of storytelling and songwriting. Originally, like as far back as I can remember, the first music that really struck me was Johnny Cash and Jimmy Buffett, those two. Kind of drifted away from that for a bit, which, you know, we can touch on a little bit, but the more what I've been doing lately is, you know, just like being back to my roots and telling stories on the road and traveling, and I'm really happy with where things are at. Like, my heart's right where it needs to be.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, you've moved around quite a bit, actually.
I have. Yeah, totally. With all that other music I did in the past when I was a little younger, you know.
Okay.
And those like rebellious teenage years, which is still in the blood, but it's just in a different form.
Okay.
I guess like when I got out of all those other things that I was doing, it's like I really fell back into what I grew up listening to start with, you know, and then I discovered like all this extra, like brand new to my ears music, like Jerry Jeff Walker and Todd Snyder and these guys, like never heard of what they're doing before. Started listening to them, and then I just fell in love with that idea of driving around and playing music for people and just getting that little idea from a place you go to or someone you met, and then bringing that into a song and sharing it with the next crowd of people
sure.
you play for. And that's really what I love about this.
Part of that journey took you to California, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about being out there. How rebellious were you out there?
Pretty.
Okay.
Yeah. But it grounded me back to where I need to be too. You gotta get that out of your system sometimes. But I do love it out there, and it's one of my favorite places to go. I had a lot of great musicians out there, a lot of good friends that I still am in touch with today, and actually one of them, we're doing a tour together in October. So it's cool, like, to be able to go out there and kind of like have a home base out there playing shows and all that. But yeah, I love it out there, and just like I love back here.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to tour out there later then? Is that part of the fall tour there, or is it all over
the fall tour is circling the Midwest, so we're going to hit like Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois. We're still working on hopefully a Wisconsin show in there.
Why
haven't we? But we got to get that too.
So. Okay.
But yeah, it's all in the ready to go pretty much.
Okay. So. Are there any songs of your, you know, you're inspired by what you see along the way and the people you meet? Is there any songs from that time that you wrote out there or you play now?
Yeah. My song, The Simple Things, that one was written right on the beach of California, my first days ever out there. And then obviously my song Trempolo, that's a little closer to home. That's about really touching place to me and close to my heart. And a lot of those things, and they just kind of pop out through the wind sometimes. You're sitting around a campfire and all the songs just come to you.
So simple things, was you just sitting on the beach, yes, and the words just kind of came to you?
Very quickly.
Very quickly, okay.
Yeah, probably in like 15 minutes, had the whole song done. I just like strummed one chord and then put some words to it and just kind of wrote. But I was like, the idea of sitting and watching these people dance around, doing Tai Chi, looking all happy, is like, why can't I just go through my day smiling about everything that comes in front of me? So just kind of do what I do with songwriting, look around what's in front of me, and just kind of took the day. I was like, I'm going to smile about this, wearing these shoes, and dancing in a circle on the beach, and everything I was doing in that moment. And that's how that song was written. Yeah.
Nice. What was it like performing out there, by the way? Especially maybe compared to here.
Yeah. Know? I mean, it was a different project. I was a duo that I was part of. So we'd still play some of the stuff I do solo, but we also had our own thing going as our duo. We had our own batch of songs that we wrote and things like that. But it was like our first time being in a group where it's like, oh, we got to play this venue, and then we come back a couple months later and like the crowd doubled and then it tripled, and it's like people are coming back for the songs that we wrote and they're singing the words, and that was really eye-opening. It's like, yeah, we can do this. It was neat. And then just the traveling to the places that I haven't ever seen, and then just really falling in love with the scene out there and the culture. And I remember I touched on this last time we talked, was Wild Works out in Santa Barbara. It was this random open mic on a Tuesday night that I popped into, and that was really neat. It was just a scene of a bunch of people writing songs, and they show up there like dedicated every Tuesday,
okay,
with a new batch of songs that they're working on, and it's just inspiring. And you get to like meet all these other great writers, and it's its own little scene.
How long did you end up spending time?
We'd go out there 2 to 3 times a year, and then we'd go out there for like a month at a time, maybe a little longer at times. And yeah.
Did you have like a place to stay, or you just like crash wherever?
Not the first time. Then okay. That's when we built the connections, and we got like people that would meet, and we'd get to stay there like the next run. And
okay.
I have a couple great, great friends out there that let us do an extended stay. I remember we just did like a run in Southern California one of the times, and you know, we just got crashed at our friend's house for the whole time we were there, and that was really cool. But
that's pretty amazing.
Super nice. Yeah. But you meet some really great people out on the road, and you know, but then we kind of, after all that, like Rock and Roll Bumming, I wrote that out there out in California, just like bumming on people's couches, playing rock and roll on the road. And that was the whole idea behind it. And what I do is I, you know, tell the crowd, hey, whenever we wanted to get out of the van for now, because we just had a little Sienna that we didn't have a lot of place to hang out in. So when it was raining, it was a little hard to say, hey, if you let us sleep on your couch, I'm going to write a song at your house. And that got us all these places.
Sweet. So, did you have to write a lot of songs?
But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it just like kept us creative and moving forward and continuing to meet people and make connections. It was great. Now it's like, yeah, got a second family.
Oh, that's amazing. It's good to have people in different areas, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have an album.
Light a Fire.
Which are those songs on that album? I can't recall.
Yeah. Highway 50 was written on one of those tours.
Okay.
I was on going through Nevada, loneliest highway in the United States.
Oh.
So that song really sparked the whole idea for the record, because a lot of those songs are written on the road at some point, or just camping out when I was up in Door County in the summer. And you know what I did? I'd sleep in the overflow parking lot in Peninsula State Park and then go play at the breweries the next day, and did that for about 3 years. And a lot of those songs are just written about, you know, just life on the road.
Sure.
And so that song Highway 50 really sparked that whole idea for Light a Fire. It was just telling stories around the campfire, and I wanted it to be very stripped down, as if we were all just hanging around together, you know,
right,
playing guitar around. So I was just like one take, you know, played it through, and I was like, that song felt good, that's how I would sing it at the fire.
Oh really?
And that's how it went out. Yeah.
Oh wow.
On this highway so far gone, I miss my family and my home. Headed into Sierra Nevada, I left my lady in Colorado. 5 long weeks out on the road, I started this run 5 days ago. Surrounded by nothing but open valley, lost and lonely on Highway 50. or drink tonight. I know in my head I'll start to fight. Go deep to the gutter of my mind when I long for someone by my side. Now if I could walk for hours on this plastic jug of water, I'd drink it until it was empty, and I'd be left with nothing but me, lost and lonely on Highway 50. Now the only warmth is from the fire beside me. No one to hold, I need somebody. Got no service to call my lady. Lost and lonely on Highway 50. So lost and lonely on Highway 50.
Undid that Rock Garden.
Okay. Oh, was the whole album done at Rock Garden?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I just did about an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow, that's like impressive.
Played every song through. I was like, yeah, because I kind of wanted to get away from the, you know, overthinking the record like I did in past times. And I guess every time you go in the studio, you understand a little bit more about how to record, and you take a different approach to it. And like, oh, this worked, and but now we can do it this way this time. And this one, I really wanted it to have that, you know, really raw feel, you know, like the people I've been listening to lately, like Todd Snyder and Jerry Jeff Walker. And it didn't need to be much, just the story was, and the feeling of the song was what I wanted to come through.
It's interesting too, because as we discussed last time, there was a shift in your music, because you were a little more rock punk sounding at first, right? What helped, you know, gravitate you towards what you do now?
Well, a big part of it was, you know, when the bands broke up, or we'd just have to take a different direction. I didn't want to stop playing music. And obviously I've been writing all these songs, but that were just more acoustic songs. It didn't fit in that. So that kind of was the base, the Standing Ground, which was that first EP, Stand By Me, Friend. And I really liked how that was going through it and playing these more intimate venues and things like that. And through there, that's just where everything led me.
Okay.
So that's just the way I more naturally write. It was just more in that storytelling, acoustic-y style. And it was just, yeah, I guess it's just growing older. Music tastes can shift sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Mine has definitely shifted.
But yeah, it's great.
Yeah, especially with my old music and everything. Uh-huh. Like it just opens up your ears to this whole other genre, really. Totally does. You're not thinking about. Uh-huh. So
that's a great thing about the festival.
I know. Like,
yeah, you discover so many things.
Speaking of which, you're playing there this year.
Yeah.
First time, right?
Yeah.
All right. Excited?
One of the shows just got announced. Yeah, I'm super excited.
Okay.
So I'm going to be playing Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
First two nights.
Nice. Do you know where you're playing yet?
I do. The one that I can publicize is Dr. Jekyll's. That's
Thursday. Oh, that's a neat little spot. Yeah. I'm glad you're going to be in there. Yeah. Okay. Nice.
So that's a Thursday. I think it starts at like 1:50. So.
Ooh, stellar.
Yeah, so like right to kick it off.
Oh, that'll probably be my first show then, right there.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
I volunteer at the PAC in the morning time until usually about 1. So,
oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Wander on over.
Yeah, Jekyll's would be a great place to start, and you as well.
Definitely.
So, yeah, cool.
Yep.
This is your first time performing, but not your first time at the festival, correct?
Yeah, I've been going to it for years.
Okay.
Just, you know, watching other artists and
getting
inspired.
And anyone from past years stand out for you?
I was like Levi Bisaw.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. A local guy.
Yeah, I went to go saw him a couple times.
Okay.
I liked what he did.
Nice.
It was like, felt a lot of emotion in how he's singing. Dan Rodriguez.
Oh, gotta really love Dan.
Love his writing, and I love his stage presence.
Yeah.
So he's another guy. Like both of those two, actually inspired me a lot to do what I do now.
Okay.
Honestly, like just the way of presenting songs and new ideas. And always looking for that next artist that's just gonna like spark this new wave of thing of thinking.
Yeah.
How you can approach a song. But yeah, those are two guys that really stand out to me. Illiterate Light, saw those guys last year.
Oh,
those guys
were
awesome.
Yep.
That duo.
Yep. They were on our top list last year. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I know, like, I didn't see Girl and Gun at the festival, but I've seen them in other venues. And,
sure.
think I saw them at Zimbaldi a couple of years back, just unexpectedly, and I really like them too.
Yeah,
they are one of those, you know, inspiring group.
Right, and local too.
And local,
yeah, absolutely.
They got a lot of great.
We
local
got a lot
talent.
Of talent. Yeah, like, we do
quite a bit,
including yourself, of course. So,
well, thanks.
Have you met Dan Rodriguez? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I met him in Colorado.
Oh, really?
He was playing at this place that I play called Steve's Guitars. It's a listening room out there.
Okay.
It's like maybe 50 people in the venue, and it's like, it's gotta be one of those awesome venues I've ever played at. And just like guitars hanging all on the wall. Nice listening room. And the guy who runs it, Ralph, he's always been so accommodating whenever you're there. But yeah, Dan was playing last year when I was living out there, and I was like, I gotta see Dan outside of Appleton.
Yeah, so, right?
That was really neat. Yeah, just to see him in a different location and to see how he approached it. But yeah, then I got to drink a little whiskey with him before he started. So that was like, cross that off the bucket list.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Speaking of Colorado, you spent some time out there. How long were you in Colorado for?
Probably 8-9 months.
All right. How did you like that?
I loved it, but I love back here more. That's why I came back.
Right.
But, you know, the scene was cool. I met a lot of great musicians and friends out there now.
Right.
My good buddy's Skip Dog. He's an older guy. He plays mandolin. And yeah, he was kind of like a mentor who helped me in the scene out there, and just super nice guy. Nicest guys of me. And he's kind of like, he's kind of a hard ass too. Just like the way he talks is just like, he's been in it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, then I ended up recording the whole record out there and got Skip Dog on it too. And a lot of those songs are going to be coming out. Like, I got a new song coming out July 30th.
All right.
The day before Mile.
All right.
So I'm like,
yeah,
that'd be a good time. That one's called Down the River. Yeah, this last week I just took off. I went up north and went off the map, turned everything off, and just enjoyed life. And that was super, it was a big reset. But yeah, I recorded a music video out there for that song. So we got a little bit of work. Yeah, got some cool things coming out of that Colorado.
Midday strolling, staring at the ground, doing what I do best, trying not to make a sound. When a stranger came up to me, said, "You've been looking down. There's ways to get rid of those feelings, and I can show you how. Follow me out the middle of nowhere. I've got a place to show you. If you've got some time to spare, it'd bring you all the answers you've been chasing through the air. Down the river.
made you want to go to Colorado? Was there anything?
I've always wanted to go out there. I mean, just like through touring out there. It's like I always wanted to live in the mountains for a little bit, but it's just not where I wanted to stay.
Right. Well, speaking of that, you got out there pretty quick, but realized you like Door County a lot.
Yeah,
right?
I love it there.
Yeah. So much so you wrote a song about it. It's like one of your latest songs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah. The moment I got out there, that was the first thing I thought, why the hell did I leave you, Door County? Even though I was happy. I just didn't know how long I was going to be out there. I knew it wouldn't be forever. I knew I just wanted to settle down somewhere in the Midwest. But then I was like, well, I really love that area and the community up there, people and venues. And it's just very welcoming to like new music and arts and all that. But it's like where I want to say, like, I'd say I really got my start out there with being able to do this full time. And those guys just always so supportive. So I wrote that song for all them. And when I got out there to Colorado, now I'm back.
Now you're back.
Happier
just
than
released
ever,
a song, yeah, and you're living in Door County now, right?
Yeah, with Sturgeon Bay.
That's got to be pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I love it. It's just like you get a little bit of the Midwest there. You get the culture of the Midwest and the northern. Like it's different. It's not that far north, but you still get like that northern Wisconsin feel. You get the Great Lakes. Kind of feels like you're on the West Coast at the same time, and the people out there is awesome. It's just
right. It's a great getaway spot for sure. Mm-hmm. And lots of nature out there.
Totally.
Last time I tried to ask you where if you had any special secret spots you like to go to.
Yeah, I do.
I couldn't get you to release any information. Can I try again?
You can try again.
I'll
tell you, like, the cool thing about Door County is all these hidden beaches. You know?
Okay.
So you just kind of drive up drive up the east side and you're going to find a bunch and you just kind of find your favorite spot.
All right.
Couldn't really pinpoint where I know where I hang out most of the time, but yeah, just drive up the undeveloped side and you're gonna find gems everywhere.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. I'll get on that.
Yeah.
Speaking of your music, you write by what you see and what inspires you. And mm-hmm. and you mentioned the song Trempolo. I wanted to talk about that a little bit more. I mean, it's that place impacted you so much you wrote a whole song about it.
Oh, yeah.
Called the song that, you know. So what was your experience there and what triggered you to write this song?
Well, I was like I lived in La Crosse for a bit, which was really close to Trempolo. So I've always loved being on the Mississippi. It's another inspiring place. Just feels different from everywhere else. And Trempolo is just a little north there, but it's got its own feel to it. It's a very local community, and they got the place, the Trempolo Hotel, that everyone goes to. And
yeah.
It's, like the Cooley Boys play there. And it's kind of how I heard of it. So I know they had a good scene going on there, and I was doing a tour in February, maybe 2 years back. So I was like, I got to go to Chicago next from Minnesota. So that's the perfect halfway stop. Stop there. And the lady Amy running it, super nice lady, she offered me a room. She said, you're not sleeping in your car. It's the middle of February. So I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And she said, pick any room you want. And then so I went up there, picked the room, and then she gave me the key. And said, good thing you didn't pick room 5 or whatever, because we have a ghost here, Maybell. She haunts the place. And, and I believe in that thing. So got me thinking a little bit. And said, you're staying here alone. Started telling me all the stories of Maybell and all right, for bed. And it was like middle of the night and I don't know what it was, but you know, I got woken up by Maybell. That's how I like to say it. And then she wrote that song for me about Trempolo. That just flew out of nowhere.
Oh, almost like you were possessed.
Exactly. That's what it felt like.
Alright. Yeah. Wow.
So it's and then I love going back there to play it. I just went back there a couple of weeks ago and got to play that song, and it's just another great community for music. You know, people are accepting of the new stuff and they like to hear that and the
original
stories.
Stuff too.
Yeah, I got absolutely. To meet the guy who wrote the original Trempolo Hotel song, and then I got a CD spun in my car, and it's like, it's cool. So there's a whole thing on Trempolo too, where there's a guy I met out there. He's got his thing called Dave's Basement Tracks, and he's always looking for like undiscovered artists and really trying to get their names out there, and he set up a whole playlist of songs about Trempolo. And I was like, well, I didn't realize there was this many Trempolo songs. But
wow, I wouldn't have thought that either.
Apparently a lot of people write them in the Trempolo Hotel, so
okay. A little music history there then. All right,
quite a bit. So that song just kind of came out, and so it's been one of my favorite ones to play ever since. Just I like telling that one to people that don't know about it or have been there and didn't know about it.
Right,
it's just a fun thing to share.
Absolutely. Yep, I like the song, and I'm intrigued to check this out too.
I think you'd enjoy it, Drew.
All right, good. All right, I like that kind of stuff, so.
If you ever get the chance to go to Tremolo, ride up the Mississippi on an old steamboat. A quiet town of 1800 with a story to be told. It's where the streets have never changed, where the buildings stayed the same. It's like walking back in time to the early days. If you ever get the chance to go to Trempealeau, there's an old hotel on the hill of that town way down below. It's where the bands play their songs and all the locals go. Where the old men drink their beer and all the women cheer. You can hear all of the laughter from the rooms upstairs. If you ever get the chance to go to Trempealeau, in the heart of the Driftless region lies State Park Perot. It's where the flowers bloom in springtime. It's where the largest trees grow. So if you got the time to kill, take a walk on up that hill, and you'll see part of this world where the time stands still. Now I've been to many places, I don't want to go back again. But this one just seems different from the rest. So tomorrow morning when I pack my bags and I head on down the road, you know that I'll be dreaming about you, Trempealeau. If you ever get the chance to go to Trempealeau, well, you'll meet some of the nicest people that you ever will know. There aren't no for sale signs, all the homes are sold. You don't pass it by, you'll understand why people wanna live there till the day they die. Now I've been to many places, I don't wanna go back again. But this one, it just seems different from the rest. So tomorrow morning when I pack my bags and I head on down the road, you know that I'll be dreaming about you, Trempealeau. Yeah, you know that I'll be dreaming about you, Trempealeau.
I wanted to circle back to your album again that is out, because you mentioned you recorded that at Rock Garden Studio. Yeah. And they just wrapped their last recording there and are closing down. That place has quite some history, yeah, too. You know, actually, the last person to record there, from my knowledge, that I saw is actually Isaiah. Oh,
yeah,
Isaiah. Dreesen.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys that I love from my...
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. And Isaiah and the New People, just a shout out for him. You know, big, he was recording his latest stuff there. You've met him on the road before, right?
Just, he hosts the Cedars Project. I did that. Yes. But the last showcase. The last one, a couple weeks ago now.
Nice. Yeah, it's cool. He's got cool what he does. Great little setup out there as well. I love that stage too, by the way.
He's got an awesome sound. I really, really like what he does.
Yeah. Then he's got a good voice, and he's kind of came out of nowhere for him. If, I don't know if you've ever talked to him, but he didn't do a lot of music when he was younger. Yeah, so but we have an episode about him. We're talking about you. So sorry.
Okay. Oh, all good.
Now you have the old album. Now you have former album, and now we have a new album coming out. Anything we should look forward to on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be releasing music every so often here. I mean, that Dark Harvest song, that one's going to be on there. The next one, Down the River, coming out July 30th, that one's going to be on there. And then I know the next song is going to be coming out, and I'm probably going to get that out early fall. And all then after that, we'll figure out the album release. It's all done.
Okay, so it's all done. You can just sit on it and relax, yeah, right?
So yeah. We got to do a couple other projects too, but you know, that one's right on the
cover art. You got the cover art picked out?
Not yet.
No. So, oh, you're not all done?
Not all. Not, no, yeah, you're right. Kidding. You're right. I'm kidding. There's loose ends we got to tie up yet for it, but you know, like the big part's done. Like, I'm happy with the tracks.
Nice. Do you plan to print this on vinyl as well?
I might. It's a little ways out yet. Definitely sure. CDs.
Okay.
I might start with
that. You need those for Mile too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people like merchandise at Mile. They do. Especially CDs. I don't know.
Yep.
But me too.
Yeah. Got a lot of cool merch starting right now. And the guys up in Door County and Dearborn, like, I run a clothing brand out there. So they've been helping me with getting some new merchandise out, which is really awesome. It kind of embraces that, you know, like that outdoor feel with the music that I always love. You know, I write a lot of my songs outside, and that's where I love playing. It's just like sitting around with a group of friends and playing songs for people in a small setting. It's my favorite time. So got a lot of cool things from up there, and some merch for Mile coming up.
Good deal. That'll be great. Anything else you want to add before we take off? Thoughts on your music, your experiences, anything on the road that's, you know.
I was just talking with a good buddy of mine today. I was just like, there's a lot of irons in the fire right now with different projects. Right now, the focus is doing the solo stuff with things, but you know, starting to talk about doing some other records and with other people, doing some co-writing with a good friend like Hunter Gatherer. I mean, him are just sculpted out the other day about planning a tour, and had him through like some steel guitar on one of my tracks for the new record. There's a lot of fun experiences and places we're going to take the music in the next year. And yeah, it's just, it's a good, I like being busy. And so it's like, it feels really good to like, yeah, every day we're working at something.
I was just thinking, you know, you like to be outdoors and in Door County, you know, what happens when winter hits?
Winter hits, it's a little less playing up there.
But, okay.
You know, we're focusing on doing tours. We'll travel a little bit more. And then maybe we do a couple shows that are, you know, make them feel a little more special. Like right now, it's just kind of hitting a circuit in a sense of a bunch of shows in the summer. But it works up there because it's a very transit crowd. You know, people are coming up there new every weekend. So it's like you're not playing to the same crowd. So it works playing in the same area as much as I do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
But then in like winter, it's going to be a little more local up there. So it's like I want to really make, when I do play up there in the winter, it's going to be, I want to make them special, you know. But yeah, we'll be touring a lot more and working on getting new music out, getting the content for the album done, and all the promotional stuff, and then focusing on what are we going to do next year, and like how are we going to set those, the next bar of goals, you know, what festivals do I want to shoot for, and things like that. So it's a reset, but it's kind of like just taking a step back from shows and focusing on the back end a little more, which is exciting.
Yeah. So. Gives it some ebb and flow, mm-hmm. and yeah, different kind of pace, you know, so you adventurous still, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. One last thing I want to ask about is you mentioned like co-writing with someone. Have you done that much before?
I did with the duo I was in. I did it with those previous bands a lot.
Sure. I'm not a musician. I'm just curious what it's like to co-write with someone, and like, how do you find that way to get your thoughts together, especially when writing? I think about working with someone, and that can be hard enough.
Well,
but this is your profession, so how do you?
It's different with everybody you write with, I think. And there's like that basic structure you follow to a sense of like, how do we want to approach things? But you know, everyone comes to the table with unique, like, to themselves as an artist, and then it's just like figuring out how to merge it. Once you get on that wave, it's just like it flows out. Cool thing with Hunter is me and him have a very similar like style and things that we do with our writing. So I think, you know, we've been working a lot together as far as like going to each other's shows and filling in. It's been like super smooth and easy to do. And, you know, me and him are starting to plan a tour together, and just like, yeah, we want to get some songs when we write together once the busy season here slows down a little bit, and we can focus on that. But yeah, I know co-writing, it's in the past with the bands I've worked with and people that I've done writing with, it's like, yeah, I'll come to the table with a good chunk of an idea, or they will, and then the other guy's just gonna fill in the parts, or like, hey, I need help with this, maybe you can expand on this small idea. And like, maybe they get really inspired by maybe 10 seconds of a riff, and then it's like, oh, I finished the song and things like that. But I tend to do a lot of my writing, you know, just like the door shut, just me, and then
yeah,
that gets like the base of it done, or like the song idea, melody, couple vocal lines, maybe the whole thing at times, and then we hand it off to the other guy. I'm like, okay, now what do you want to add in, what would you change up, and then we just kind of like go off of that. But sometimes it happens where you're both writing together in the same moment, and it's a little trickier at times, but once you hit that wave together, it's nice and easy. Yeah, and yeah, you get some cool ideas, and the song just like develops quickly that way versus just a couple chords with some lyrics like how I would write alone. But then it's like, oh, what if we put a stop here in the chorus, and it's like right as we're writing it versus like the song's done and we'll add that later. It's like, oh, let's put the stop here, and then it just sparks this new path for the song to go down. So yeah, it's always nice to have a bunch of brains working on the same thing, and then you find that common direction together. It's rewarding.
I've gotten to see you perform solo. You know, you're talking about Hunter Gatherer. So I look forward to hopefully catching the two of you performing sometime. And looking forward to the new album then. So I will listen for that. Maybe we can put a little of your new music in the episode too. Awesome. So I hope you're having a good summer so far.
Summer's been great. It's just like, it's been a lot going on, but you know, I feel just as ambitious as when I started too. And excited about the next thing, and just keep looking forward to things, but also staying present. That's a very big thing. Showing up to the show and trying to give the best performance for people, and you know, keeping those songs fresh, because a lot of the time it's the first time they're hearing those songs too.
Cool. I mean, that's a great way to go about it. I'm trying to like just pace myself this summer, just from a fan standpoint.
Yeah.
Enjoying the summer. It goes by so fast, you know? So just soaking up each and every day. So which is why I really appreciate you coming back for a second time to record this same episode.
Not a problem
again
at all.
So
I'm happy we got to do it.
It's been great getting to know you and get to talk to you as well. So yeah, I really appreciate that.
You're a really cool guy for showing up to all these performances.
When
you have those people coming back to a show, I mean, I got a couple friends that do the same. It's just like when they show up, just like sparks the energy as a performer. It's like, sure, yeah, you're here.
Elevates it, huh? Like
50 people here already, but when you walked in, it makes it
cool.
Really, really fun.
Yeah. And that's what's exciting about Mile, too. I hope you enjoy playing that, and you'll catch me in the crowd. Sweet. That's for sure. Jekyll.
Dr. Jekyll. Like
yeah. All right, cool. Well, thanks again, Austin. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Dancing in a circle on the beach. Early morning, drinking black coffee. Woke up in a local school parking lot. Some people think I'm crazy, but I'm not. Enjoy the simple things. Life's full of simple things. Enjoy the simple things. They come to you. Got a mango in my bag for lunch. It does the job even though it ain't that much. Secondhand shoes in a first class town. Don't look that nice, but they still help me get around. Enjoy the simple things. Life's full of simple things. Enjoy the simple things as they come to you. Thank you.
the water caught my eye. And so did that one Speedo wearing older guy. Everyone's out feeling so free, along with their own sort of company. Enjoy the simple things. Life's full of simple things. Enjoy the simple things as they come to you. Gotta enjoy the simple things in life as they come to you. We'll be right back.